cold, dark vacuum where sound can't travel and only a few humans have, and very slowly at that.
Or a vibrant, loud battlefield full of laser blasts, spaceships, and noisy explosions where basically everyone in the galaxy can travel at the speed of light.
This week, we're discussing perhaps the most important setting and concept of Star Wars. Outer space!
How Star Wars is it?
Well, hello there, Mike.
Hi, Josiah, and hello, listeners.
Hi to the listeners. Hi, and welcome to the show. This is How Star Wars Is It. It's the only... Well, no, I should say...
It's not the only podcast.
It's not the only podcast. We have a guest this week that is proof positive that there is at least one more podcast out
there.
Yeah,
we're not going to get away with it this week.
Yeah, so I'm going to say, for now, there's two podcasts. Yeah. Or maybe four, because I think you guys have a Patreon too, so maybe four podcasts
and so do
out
we.
There. So maybe four total.
Yeah.
But
this all week, podcasts are
all
about Star Wars.
Yeah. It's a Star Wars medium. But this is the show where we rate review things on a scale of 1 to 10, not of how good or bad they are, but of how Star Wars they are. So we take everything Star Wars, put it all in one big pot, set it to simmer. That's the Star Wars chili. That's a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, boil down those movies, those books, those comics, those video games. They're all one big sludge.
Yeah, and that's a 10 out of 10. And this week, we're getting into what I like to think of as one of our core competencies, which is comparing Star Wars to a concept.
Yes.
Not a movie, not a TV show.
Right.
Not a video game, a concept.
And we're relatively hot on the heels of a recent episode where the topic was nothing. So yes. I feel like we're going to start seeing perhaps some Venn diagram, that sort of three circle Venn diagram, you know, where there's kind of a curvy triangle shape in the very middle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Space, nothing, and Star Wars.
Yeah. So this is going to be, maybe we'll have some similar points, but we also discovered on our nothing episode that space is not nothing.
Right. While a vacuum, it is not nothing.
Yeah. But before we get too into it,
That's right.
Should introduce our guest.
Yes. We are thrilled to have him. It's completing a bit of a saga for us, too.
Yeah.
You know him as the other half of the Star Wars Minute podcast. Please welcome to How Star Wars Is It, Alex Robinson.
Hello there.
Woo!
Hello there. Welcome to the show, Alex. And I just want to point out, yes, we are both Robinsons, everyone. We have the same last name.
Nepo babies in the house.
Yeah, this is Alex is my dad. And that's how I got into Star Wars podcasting.
Now, I look at all the younger podcasters as my children.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, like, to a degree, we are absolutely cribbing from you guys, at least to some extent, because we're doing this weird analytical high concept assessment of things relative to Star Wars.
Do
we know any other Robinsons who have a Star Wars podcast?
I don't know.
That's a great question.
Craig Robinson from The Office?
maybe. We should get him on the show.
Well, I probably should admit this on the air, but I don't listen to any Star Wars podcasts, so I can't tell. I'm like, oh, how come I don't know the name of any Star Wars podcasters? Like, oh, right, I don't listen to any.
Yeah, right.
Your secret is safe with us, and also I don't either, because we talk about Star Wars all the time. And you guys watch so much Star Wars and talk so much Star Wars that if I had your podcast, I also probably wouldn't listen to another Star Wars podcast. I'd be like, I have other things that I like to do in my spare time.
Yeah. Well, plus then you just get mad listening to other people because you're like, no, wait a minute. Boshek wasn't. Yeah. And you can't talk back to the radio.
You can't talk back when you're listening to a podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I do. Having a podcast is spoils you because you are used to talking during podcasts. So whenever you hear someone else's, it is like, well, this is bogus.
Yeah.
Can't even talk in this one.
The thing where people on a podcast are talking about a particular topic and neither, or however many people are talking about it, none of them are saying the thing right, whatever it is. Mm. And then eventually someone goes, oh, it is Boshek or whatever. Yeah, like, yeah. You've been screaming for 10 minutes at that point.
We'll do
our best, listeners, to not do that this week.
I really can't wait till AI is a thing where you can basically say, okay, I want to listen to How Star Wars in it, and you basically get to interact with the AI host as if you are a guest on the show. So
now we're talking. Once AI can replace podcast hosts, that's when you know we are just really done.
You make it sound like that's an impossible test. There's no way AI would be able to replicate our deep thoughts.
You're right. That's probably like day one.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
AI is like, oh, we actually made our own new podcast. No worries about that.
But it would be that easy TikTok voice. Like, hey, welcome to How Star Wars Is It?
How Star Wars Is It?
Get ready with me.
Remember that time when Luke found out Darth Vader was his father.
Wasn't that so cool?
POV, when you find out. That you made out with your sister.
Ready-made clips on TikTok. They're so good. AI is so good at podcasting.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
I did have a friend send, a musician friend. I'm a musician as well. And he sent me in our little group text from another friend who's a musician. He sent us a TikTok that was like, AI wrote a dubstep song. And he was like, we're useless now. And I was... It was a well-done song.
That's the last thing.
Yeah, I was like, they did
a dubstep song. Aren't they all done by AI? Isn't EDM famously just a kind of boop, 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 and then it spits out like albums for you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, isn't dubstep right. just when an AI has eaten too much and its tummy got upset?
EDM, yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
But
we're not talking about any of that stuff.
No. Well, we have. Clearly, but this week our main goal is to compare quantitatively the concept, the real world, the real universe-bound concept of space to Star Wars, the platonic chili that is Star Wars. Which, you know, I'm thrilled that our topic is so sort of broad and like can be, you know, it's just like a single word, because when we had, however long ago now this was, when we had your co-host of the Star Wars Minute podcast, Pete the Retailer, on, the topic was hats, which maybe isn't quite as broad as space, but it is also still like an abstract noun.
What have other people chosen? Just like movies and TV shows and stuff?
Yeah, people love movies, apparently.
Huh. Yeah. Sometimes people pick movies. Let me see. We just recorded one with a guest that was about Dune Part 2, because, of course, we had to record an episode about that.
Yeah.
Recent guests have recorded... One did The City of Chicago.
Mm.
So that was a concept, more of a concept. And then, a lot of movies. But we also, like, often will pitch movies to people. Be like, do you want to come on a movie with us? We did have a friend who pitched us covering our own show on our show. So for our 250th episode, we covered How Star Wars Is It for How Star Wars Is It.
Oh, boy. It's like Inception. Are you going to do for your 500th episode? Are you going to do How Star Wars Was the episode where you did How Star Wars Was How Star Wars Is It?
Yeah.
Now we have to. It's just
the scene from The Last Jedi of Rey in front of the double mirror.
Oh, yeah.
click, click, click. I'm going to set a reminder in my phone for like 223 weeks from now.
Okay, yeah. Awesome.
And then I'll make sure that we remember to do that.
So it's about 5 years? Probably 5 years. Mm.
Yeah, it should be about five more years.
That's about right.
And we will definitely be doing this podcast still in 5 more years.
Yeah.
We'll be in the mines, trudging along. Now, you guys had a little bit of an email back and forth, and you pitched a decent amount of ideas for what to cover. But you said you were like, these are the things I can talk about for like, you know, an hour or so. And space was one of them. And we got excited about that because I would consider myself an amateur space enthusiast.
Mm-hmm.
I used to feel like I used to know more things than I do now. But I like talking about space. It also lends itself to science fiction.
Mm-hmm.
What is your space journey? Why is space important to you in the way that you could talk about it for an hour and a half?
I think... Gosh, it was probably about 10 years ago now that I don't remember why exactly, but I really started getting into at the time, the Discovery Channel and its subsidiaries had tons of good, or at least accessible you know, popular science things about, like, documentary hours shows about space. There was one called Our Universe. There was the Morgan Freeman hosted about half of them. There was one, there was tons of them, and you could learn of a lot in a very short amount of time. And so that's, I really like, it was, you know, I don't call myself a professional like you. I'm an amateur, but I definitely got educated mostly by watching documentaries on the television. But yeah, I didn't get into space until I didn't really like it as a kid or anything other than, you know, Star Warsy. So
sure.
Yeah. At one point I started, I was also a graphic novelist in my younger days. And when I got into space, I wanted to do a, like comic story using about like mythological gods, but it would be telling the history of the solar system, but as if they were characters in a story, because, you know, the Roman gods and stuff, they're all named after them, but they generally don't have very much to do with what is actually going on. So I was going to try to make the characters have the attributes that the planets would have.
Oh, that's a cool idea.
Kind of had an educational bent to it, but
I love that.
Yeah, I just, when it came time to actually drawing it, I was like, I just can't do this. So so someone else will have to pick up my idea and run with it. But yeah.
You hear that, folks? TM Alex Robinson, but if you want to take it, you can maybe license it.
TMI.
I like that. I like that because maybe Jupiter's just really gassy.
Yeah, Jupiter was kind of like the king, and like everyone just had it was kind of like, he was kind of a jerk. Picture like a kind of like a blowhard type of character. And he had like all the planets, all the moons were their wives. So he had 86 concubines his harem of ladies and stuff. So
dang. Yeah. Now, was Pluto already deplanetized at this point, or was Pluto allowed to be in the comic?
The story was going to kick off with Pluto being kicked out of the royal family. It was part of her story was going to be trying to get back into the good graces of the family.
Banished.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now I think we're telling too much of the story now. Okay. So now someone is going to take it and run with it.
Okay.
Thing I know about space.
TM.
The thing I know about that one of Jupiter's moons is called Io, because that is the name of the theater where you can see Mike and Josiah as part of Anarchy the Improvised Rock Opera.
Oh. Yes.
Nice.
If you Google just the letter Io, I think they've managed to get their SEO up a little bit, and it takes you to the improv theater formerly known as Improv Olympic, but right there, second, number two with a bullet, is Jupiter's moon Io.
Small world.
Hey, Mike, I got bad news for you.
Are you getting Iowa?
Do you know how far you have to scroll before you hit Io Theater?
Quite.
Yeah, the first thing is the moon. Okay. So the Io moon has a great marketing team.
Yeah.
Then it's like, what does IO stand for, of course? And then you get a couple of IO games, because .io was a domain for multiplayer games. IO the movie was apparently a movie. IO games again. IO and mythology. More games. the moon again. More games. There's NASA. And then IO improv.
Wow.
So you just go down pretty far to get to the improv theater.
Oh, IO. Now I get it. I didn't piece it together. I was like, oh, maybe IO was like the goddess of improv
It used to be called, this is the story, it used to be called Improv Olympic.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah.
Yes. And then they had to change the name because the Olympics were like, you can't do that. Yeah. We're the Olympics.
The real confusion in the marketplace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Olympics, not always like a fan of competition, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The Olympics was like, well, what if we want to do improv at our Olympics?
Oh.
People will
get confused. And you should do that.
Yes, you should. I love the idea of a bunch of really good sports players being like, who wants to play Zip Zap Zop? let's get a round of mind meld going.
Really good sports players.
the best sports players on the planet.
But that's not true. That's not the only thing I know about space/Jupiter's moons. Now, one thing I will say, we're recording this before, but my family lives in central Indiana, which will be in the path of totality of the upcoming eclipse. And being in Chicago, I'm not that far off, so my plan was to just sort of stay here. And very recently, I learned I'm going to have to travel for work that day. So I will be like sitting at the terminal in Newark in my layover as a once in a generation eclipse happens.
That's not right.
So we the just... eclipse was eclipsed by travel to the East Coast.
Well, a couple of years ago here in I live in Portland, Oregon. And a couple of years ago, we were in the path of the eclipse.
2017. Maybe
that sounds right. And I was like, well, maybe I'll just get, you know, the morning of, I'll just get up early in the morning. I'll drive down to the, you know, closer to the main path. And then like the day before, it's like the entire highway is just bumper to bumper at a standstill because all these idiots are coming to look at it. So I didn't even get a chance to, like, I saw it partially, but partially is like, you might as well not. It just looks like, oh, wow, it looks like it got cloudy for a couple of minutes.
Yeah,
and
right.
Then it ends. But anyway.
There was a TikTok I saw just recently of that particular eclipse. And it was a video of the whole country via the Google traffic interface, and you can kind of pick a time of day, and it went from like the minute the eclipse ended, it went from all green interstates to just like red and yellow right along like this sort of invisible path. It was so wild.
That's funny.
Everyone's like, all right, pack it up, we're going home.
There we go. I got really like lucky on the day of the eclipse in 2017 because I was going to see it with a friend, but we didn't have any glasses to look at it with, and so I went down to the planetarium. Because like the planetarium was like had done a big publicity thing of like, we're giving away all these glasses, come get them and you can like see the eclipse. So I was like, I'll just go down there and get them. And there was a huge line, like blocks and blocks of people. And I think I like rode my bike or something where I ended up like sort of closer to the front of the line than the end of the line. So I kind of just walked up to the front of the line and was like, hey, and they were like, here you go, and just gave me glasses. And then I just walked away and was like, I think I just cut like 1,000 people in line.
That's some bad karma you little, got right there.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. Yeah. I'm really worried. Yeah. But no, it felt a little bad, but also I was like, I think anybody could have done that. I don't think we're supposed to be standing in this line. I think we should just all be rushing these poor people.
That's what they want. Yeah.
And scaring them and being like, give me glasses. That was a fun one. I remember back then. We were not in the path of totality then in Chicago, but we were, you know, got a decent view of it. But yeah, it was basically like, oh, it got really dark for a second, but not really dark. Like you couldn't see the stars or whatever like you can when you're in the totality stuff. But
it got me thinking about the nature of an eclipse is all just, you know, like you can make that type of thing happen in your everyday life if you are on one side of a room and a light source is on the other. You can make your own little, you know, lamp eclipse. And it made me think like, oh, it's all just because we are stuck here on this planet. But if we had spaceships, we could like essentially witness eclipses whenever we wanted. It's just a matter of like flying exactly the right distance from the moon and lining yourself up.
Well, one also crazy thing is that it only works because the moon and the sun are exactly that size. And people are like, oh, that proves that God made this thing. But it doesn't. It just proves that we just happen to be alive at the time when, because the moon is slowly moving away from the Earth. So in, you know, 10,000 years, eclipses won't work anymore because the moon will be too far away to block out the entire.
I just learned that fact recently. That is mind-boggling.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Like I agree that it is indeed just sort of dumb luck, but it makes me wonder, like, is there a correlation to planets that experience eclipses to say planets that can sustain life? Like the proximity of the sun and the proximity of the moon involving things like the heat of the Earth and the tides and all that, like is it possible?
Well, the moon that definitely God played exists. A part. Yeah, the moon definitely played a part, so it's possible.
Yeah.
We don't know, of That's course.
True. We had so that is funny that we, because eclipses, I mean, space in general. We've already talked about the gods.
Mm-hmm.
We've already talked about the eclipses being and like the way that it all lines up. A very spiritual experience space can be. I just talked like Yoda for some reason.
And that like and, you have been out there.
Yeah. Oh, let me tell you.
In my handful of journeys to
great. Didn't we talk about not recently, but like Mike, we were talking about some property, maybe Star Wars, that was set in space where they were like excited about an eclipse, and we were like, Why would you be? You can see an eclipse literally all the time. Do you remember that? I can't remember what it was about.
Yeah, I think it's maybe that there's a new video game, a Star Wars video game in the pipeline called Eclipse.
Yes.
And we were like, Eclipse? Star Wars has like 1,000 planets.
Yeah, there'd be an eclipse every day. It wouldn't be exciting. Anyway, but I bring this up because like one of the space things that I got, my dad is sort of an amateur, like he has a big telescope and loves to look at the stars and like has a lot of constellations memorized. And I love to look at the stars with girls in high school. My girlfriend
when
just walked
you
by.
When you were in high school.
Yeah.
That's clarifying.
Yes. My girlfriend just walked by and gave me a really, like, dirty look. Oh, here's my dog. Hi. That's not my girlfriend. Yeah.
No, that's your girlfriend now.
Yeah, she's my new girlfriend because my girlfriend has broken up with me because she is mad.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
But anyway, but we look at we used to look at the stars all the time in my dad's telescope. And then there was this funny, like, religious thing. It was like a trend in like the 20, I want to say it was like 2005 maybe, in that era, where like Christians got really into like the Hubble telescope photos because they were like proving things about like God and stuff. And it was like, look at this incredible cosmos. No one could, like, God definitely made this because it's so beautiful. And my favorite one was, there was this, I wonder if I can find it online. There was a image of a, like, some nebula or something that looked like a sideways, like a little angular cross.
Oh.
And everyone,
yeah,
Christians were like, that proves it.
Mm.
There's a cross out right there.
And down in Australia, all the Satanists are like, see, that proves that, that Satan is yeah ruling the earth.
Yeah.
It was, and I remember being so into that whenever, like, because I was at, like, some church camp, and they were, like, showing all these Hubble Space Telescopes pictures, and it was like, here's this one. They're so, oh, look at all this beauty. And then they were like, and guys, check this out. And they pulled up the cross one, and we were all like, oh, holy shit.
That really bugs me. Not that they were trying to indoctrinate you, but the fact that they're using a science thing for their own.
They were, and absolutely.
So, yeah, go, wow, look at this beautiful nebula. It was created 30 billion years ago. You know,
yeah.
On the sixth day.
Way before Jesus.
I know the universe way is 15 billion Jesus years old. Leave me alone, nerds.
And a cross of all things is a fairly simple shape to sort of see.
Like, oh, I think I found it.
Like, what you could make the argument of any symbol, and like, it's especially funny because many religious iconography symbols are in fact stars.
Yes. All right, I found it. We got you guys want to see this beautiful image?
Please.
Okay, I'm worried I will be converted upon my eyes.
Yeah, you might. It's so good. You might
become
a Christian.
Looking at the Ark of the Covenant.
Look at this one. You see this?
Oh, boy.
First, I thought those were cat eyes.
Yeah.
I know, right?
The couple, calling it, the first two being the same picture, but right next to each other, it looks like the poster for cats.
Yeah, so you got, like, as you can see, there was a whole news story about it that was
for the listener at home, it looks like you're looking at Jesus on the cross from very far away, like through a hole in a sack. It's like you've been kidnapped and you're witnessing the crucifixion through the hole in your hood.
Yeah, you're gazing back up as you descend into the sunken place.
Oh yeah, kind of. Yeah. That's what it's like. Yeah.
And it's like, calling it a cross is kind of generous because it's so slanted.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't look like, I don't know. It's just so funny because they showed that to us and we were like, oh.
It seems like if God wanted to make it look more like a cross, he would have. And also, that's the thing. Why is God using such, like, obscure things instead of just having a big sign that says Jesus is here? You
Jesus
know?
Is
like,
real.
So something like, if you look at it from the right angle, it's God's message. Like, come on, God, you know, like,
yeah,
put up a bit more, be a bit more.
And plus,
we're not
to
smart.
Your point, that nebula or whatever that was is however many millions of years old, and like the idea of a cross would. That's some real foreshadowing.
Well, I mean, he is.
Yeah, it really is.
It is God. I mean,
that is. It is God. He can do whatever he wants. Yeah. You know, That just shows that he had a plan the whole time. He was like, all right, I'm gonna make this one nebula, and then in 100,000 years
that's the new like bad faith complaint about the sequel trilogy of like, well, they just didn't have a plan. Yeah. Like, they should be more like God.
They should know they're going to crucify their own son on a cross and put it in the stars.
So, space.
Anyway, space. That's my weird space story.
I want to know more about the sort of discovery, like your foray into these, the multitude of documentaries on things like the Discovery Channel. Like, is it about the sort of vastness and however many galaxies we can observe, or is it more about space travel here kind of in our domestic Milky Way?
No, I think one conclusion I came to fairly early on is that space travel is like a fantasy. It's never going to happen. We're never going to, we might colonize Mars. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a grim, dark existence for those people trying to scraper in existence out of a planet that is completely uninhospitable, environmentally. But I love the, I guess it's just like, it's, I love all the, like the mechanics of it and stuff, and how like things are that are small, like the structures get replicated in larger, atoms orbit a nucleus and then planets orbit a sun. And then, we all orbit a galaxy, and that kind of, it just seems, I don't want to say I could see that as the argument for God, but I do love all that aspect of it. And also how it really emphasizes that, like, it's incredible that we even know this stuff, because humans are so tiny and insignificant. That it's just, it's staggering.
That sort of that structural thing that seems to repeat at the macro and the micro scale is shocking.
Like fractals, kind of.
Well, it's kind of like the fractals, like the golden ratio, that kind of thing. Just like pi.
Yeah, I was gonna say, Josiah and I will just spend days sending each other TikToks where someone sees pi somewhere unexpected. Like, I did. Yeah. I walked up this mountain and I took the shadow and the blah 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 whatever, and it was pi. Like, pi just keeps showing up.
You are referring to the number pi now, right?
Yeah.
I was walking in the street. Suddenly, there's a pi there.
Oh, it was just a pie.
I just stepped into this bakery, and wouldn't you know it?
It was a pie. Yeah, we like to send each other TikToks, where math TikToks, where Mike gets more math talks considerably more than I do, but he sends them to me. So sometimes I get them, and I'll just be like, can you believe this shit? Pi showed up in this equation again. Uninvited.
And to the point of space travel being fantasy, that is just such a critical, call it a hand wave or a storytelling device that Star Wars just basically tells you from the jump, you gotta get on board with this.
Yeah.
Because, like, we don't have jet lag, we don't have time zones.
Yeah.
Light speed travel won't make one person really old and another person really young. It's just like getting on an airplane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, or an ocean ship. Going. You know, you just kinda,
Yeah.
That's what, it was funny when I suggested space, and I thought about it afterwards, and I'm like, I guess I couldn't decide if that was a very, maybe I'm getting ahead of us, but I couldn't decide if it was a very Star Wars thing or a barely Star Wars thing. It's almost Star Wars space is just kind of like, if it was water, we'd be like, this is crazy. None of this stuff is, I don't know.
Yeah, right.
But the fact that it's space and a lot of people don't really know or understand a lot about it, okay, we can just, make up all sorts of crazy laws that people...
It's very rare in any Star Wars space scene. Usually there's sort of the dogfight battle type of thing with the big ships and the smaller escort fighters. It's very rare that the bigger ships, the destroyers, are not at the same kind of like axis in three dimensions. Sometimes you'll see them kind of off angle, but even then, that's a weird rarity. They're all usually like floating as though they have a buoyancy in space, and it's like they're aware of the camera's position. Because if the camera were off angle, they would all still be kind of coplanar with one another, just wrong, diagonal.
The only sci-fi property that I think has addressed that in a way that is with any sort of like scientific realism or whatever you want to call it was, I think, like Ender's Game. Because if you read in Ender's Game, like one of the training, like when they're training or whatever, like the reason Ender's so good at it is because he can think in like however many dimensions that space actually is. Mm. And so like everyone else is thinking of it as like X and Y axis. And we're going like forward and backward and side to side. And then he's like, there's no gravity. You can go wherever you want. Mm-hmm. Like you can go up and down too. And everyone's like, what?
Wow.
And so like, I think the space travel in that for the
3D.
3D. So like the dimensions of space fights in that book, at least, like, I don't think it, I'm not sure if it was a pictured in the movie. So I never saw the movie because I heard it wasn't that great, but the, we're kind of like that same thing of like, oh, the ships can end up wherever, like it, like you're not all beaming into the same place on the same plane. And I'll say like most sci-fi does that for ease of visuals. Like Star Trek does that where like you're all just kind of, yeah, it's almost like they set a north and south, an up and down across the entire like universe.
Right.
Because they were like, otherwise we're going to be beaming in places upside down to each other and that might be confusing, you know? But that's just one of the many space things that sci-fi is just like, eh.
Yeah, right.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Reminds me of a Mystery Science Theater. Just, you know, relax.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Are you generally a, obviously, it could stand to reason that you like Star Wars, Alex, but when you,
or at least you have in the past.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
But in terms of like the sci-fi, you know, like there will a lot of times be the delineation that things like Star Wars and even to a degree Star Trek are more space fantasy or space. Yes. You know, Star Trek maybe not quite as much as Star Wars,
yeah.
But are you in the worlds at all in the sort of fiction realm of the more real science kind of space? Like I'm thinking,
how hard do you like your science?
Yeah, you mentioned Life on Mars and it made me think of both The Martian and Project Hail Mary by Andy Weir. Have you happened to read either of those?
I read The Martian. I have not read, yeah, Hail Mary. So I think that generally the harder I like my sci-fi, the harder the better.
Oh,
you know what I mean? So like Arthur C. Clarke and that kind of stuff. I like that more so than like, you know, oh, they're mercenaries flying from place to place, going, you know, yeah, taking on different governments. You know, I like it when it's, yeah, as realistic as it could possibly be, you know. So,
sure.
But cool. You know, but when it comes to movies, when I'm reading, I like it hard science fiction. I'm a lot more forgiving when there's cool things to look at. You know what I mean?
Sure,
okay,
sure.
I'll put up with, you know, sound and space if it means getting that deep bass, yeah, when the ship goes overhead and, you know, so.
Yeah.
They both have
the
their
seismic
place.
Charges.
Yes, exactly.
Now, I don't know how much of a reader you are, but I've been pushing this book on a mic for a while, but there's this great series called The Three-Body Problem. Just came out on Netflix.
Heard of it.
And I don't know if the Netflix show is good. I've heard mixed reviews, but the book is great. And that's like one of my favorite sort of hard sci-fi because they get into like quantum hard sci-fi, mm-hmm, shit where it's like we're really playing with the ideas of what's possible. And I think like that's kind of where I get into like that, where I get really interested in space is the idea that there is so much we don't know about. And like Mike and I were talking recently about just like the how much humanity knows and how much we think we know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, we think we know a good amount, but like the real scientists, the real smart people are like, oh, we don't know anything.
Yeah.
We have no idea. Are you kidding me? We have no idea what's
like,
going on.
What
we
was the picture that just came out maybe in the last year? It may have even been Hubble or sort of Hubble 2.0 or 5.0 or whatever we're at now, where it was just such a higher resolution photograph of out there than what we once had. And You can kind of hear a bunch of people sort of go like, wow. And then you can sort of also hear in the back of your mind the top scientists of our civilization being like, like, oh, no, look at all that stuff we didn't know about.
They thought they were almost done. They're going to be able to go home for the weekend.
Yeah.
There's more galaxies?
I thought that was just colors. That's more stars?
Oh, no more big telescopes. This is the biggest we're going to get. We can't learn yeah. any more than this.
No more.
Yeah, their minds were
already was
blown.
Finally, my inbox was finally down to the last picture.
It's human nature, I think, to think of whatever. I'm sure every generation has thought of itself as like, well, we're obviously they were the smartest at the time, but mm-hmm. you know, or generally. But so yeah. But I think if you think like 150 years ago, we didn't know anything about like evolution or space or, you know, anything. And now we know just in that short amount of time, in the last 200 years, we have, our knowledge has grown, you know, almost as much as everything else before it, you know, it's bonkers.
It's funny that you were saying that, like, is Star Wars very, is space very Star Wars or not very Star Wars? Cause I'm thinking about the same thing about like, cause space in real life is hard science fiction.
One could even go as far as to say it's hard science.
Yeah. You're right. Science fact. Excuse me. And it is like, it is not Star Wars at all, because like I keep referencing this conversation in recent episodes, but I had a conversation with a friend who did not like The Last Jedi and had a lot of big opinions why. And one of them is that he's just like, I just like my science fiction to be consistent, and I like it to make sense with like stuff that's come before. And I was like, "Oh, you might not like Star
Wars."
You're
picking the 8th Star Wars to use that.
I was like, "Hey, man, you might just not like this series." I think, but it's so true, because Star Wars is like really picks and chooses when it's going to care about things like science.
Yeah,
it mostly is in it for cool visuals. Mm-hmm. Cool stories, fun fights, and like, yeah, it's not going to worry about that, oh, TIE fighters and X-Wings could not maneuver in space like that, because we want it to look like the World War II dogfights, like, movies that George Lucas liked, you know? And so, I don't know, it's like, yeah, is space coming down actually being, even though it's so integral to Star Wars, it might be not that Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's also... Sorry, I totally blanked that. Go ahead. I've totally blanked that. I lost my train of thought there.
It'll come back to you.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, the vastness of space. It's just so big that I just...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was going to say. That's what it was. It's interesting to see which rules are allowed to be broken and which ones take people out of it. For example, I think if the Millennium Falcon was out in outer space and Han Solo just opened the window... Everyone would be, no, you can't do that. The vacuum would, you know, suck everything out. But for some reason, that law, everyone's willing, that one everyone wants to stick to. But sound and space, that doesn't matter. Or, you know, various gravitational things or whatever, you know.
Right. It's a pressure and breathing vacuum. It's not a sound vacuum.
Exactly.
The sounds are cool. Do you hear those lasers, you guys?
As we discovered in the Nothing episode, sound is not nothing. And there is, space is not nothing.
Vacuum.
There is not sound in a vacuum, but vacuum is not nothing.
Physicists,
what do they call,
consider
it?
The volume of the vacuum to be full of virtual particles.
Right. That's what that was the verbiage they used. Yeah. And we were like, what does that mean?
Almost in the sort of quantum-y way of like, it is not a particle.
Right. It's not... not nothing.
Yeah.
Wait. It's not. Wait, hold on. No. Hold on. It is not nothing. There we go. That's right.
That is
all. Nothing is nothing.
Yeah. When you were talking about people not knowing anything in science, and especially when you get to the either extreme, like when you start getting smaller and smaller and smaller, and then suddenly it's like, now you have neutrinos and they're made of strings. And if you go even further, they're made out of this. And it's like, it's just going to, you know, it's going to be turtles all the way down. Like, there's never going to be a bottom of how small everything is.
Yes. I think that like one of the things we talked about too in the Nothing episode was like, The thing that scientists are looking for, it's so silly that we even
recorded
episodes about
nothing.
In the Nothing episode.
Seinfeld.
It sounds like I'm referring, it sounds like I'm referring to like a lost episode or like an episode that was just silenced the whole time. And I'm like, it was a Nothing episode. But we talked about like the unified theory of everything that like scientists are looking for to combine stuff like gravity and also quantum mechanics, because like gravity is for some reason really strong for big things and the weakest force in the world when it comes to little things.
The weakest force in the world.
Inside the world.
Of the world.
And we talked about like, you know, all the different other like electromagnetism and like weak and strong nuclear force, blah, 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 blah. But like, you're right. It's like the farther away you go, the bigger you get. It's like, I don't know. We don't know what's going on out there. Black holes, maybe. Who knows?
Yeah, physics
and
the gets littler, wonky.
And then physics gets wonky. They can't match it with everything else. Same thing with quantum level things. You can't match it with everything else. And once we, hey, once we can match those things together, it's over.
We'll finally for have you solved everything.
Yeah, for those aliens out there, it's over for you guys once we figure this shit out.
Do you think we will get to the bottom of small or the top of big first?
Oh,
well, neither.
Never.
The same thing.
No, I think
never
the three of us will reach one.
All right.
Maybe even tonight.
Yeah, I was gonna say we all need to go back to school.
Yeah,
get a little quantum physics, or I don't even know if they have quantum physics degrees, but just maybe just a physics degree in general,
with a minor
just to start out.
Yeah,
yeah, we'll minor. Yeah,
it's a small.
Yeah, it couldn't be a major. Yeah,
it's so small. I'm gonna this time when I go back to school, I'm gonna minor in Spanish just for fun.
Useful.
So that's gonna be for
practical.
Me.
Practical.
Yeah, it's useful. Just in case quantum physics doesn't work out, I'll have my Spanish degree to back me up.
I'm gonna minor in coal.
Nice.
Should
we go to the break and then come back and
I think
play
so.
Again?
Yeah, I think we probably should. We've really we've kind of talked about space.
I think we covered everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've really talked around. We've talked
Saturn
around
has
a
ring. A
lot of things.
Oh. Okay, now we're good.
For now.
For now. Oh. All right,
yeah,
let's go to the break, and then we'll
jump into the Sarlacc pit, and then we'll come back and play a little game.
Here we go. Whee! And we're inky blackness of space.
Nice and
nice
concise.
And succinct. Yeah. Really good economy of words.
Speaking of economy of words, the name of the episode of our friend Ben Hebert's podcast that I was just on, Bite Size, the name of episode is something like Brown Polo, Basketball Longs, Keep It Teal. Not worth
getting
more
into
why.
Yeah.
But our friend, in fact, it's funny to have you here. Our friend has a podcast where they cover the Twilight movie one scene at a time.
Oh, wow.
With a different guest each week.
I don't know how people can sit that long and watch a whole scene.
Yeah,
not just 1 minute, but a whole scene.
And we talked about the one nice sunny day in Forks, Washington, and instead of everything looking blue, it looked more teal because the yellow of the sun was coming out. So check out Bite Sized, and we're back. I've got the game this week. Now, I developed this game, however long ago it was, in honor of that week's guest being also from the Star Wars Minute podcast. And I think we've only really ever played it once or twice other than that. I can't remember now if I also brought it to Star Wars Minute when we were guests, but it is the Star Wars Minute game.
Yay!
Star Wars Minute game.
Yeah.
So we've got...
TM for us.
Yeah.
We're stealing it.
So we've got, I just stuck to the nine, as they have now begun calling it, Skywalker Saga films. And I picked particularly spacey minutes from each. Mm. And I will give you the overall runtime of the movie, and then you will have to guess at what minute this particular event occurred.
Okay.
Now, if memory serves, Pete was like pretty decent at this.
He got at least one on the right number.
Yeah, which was pretty crazy. I was like average at this and to bad. Average to bad. So you don't have much of a competition here, Alex. You should be fine.
Is it just who gets it closest, or is it, do we have a margin of error? Do we, is it Price is Right rules? I know Pete is very good at this. Of course, he edits all the episodes, so I'm sure to him, he's really memorized where it's what Aaron went.
I think when we played it as sort of just a single player mode for Josiah only, it was kind of a margin. Like if you get it right on, you get 5 points, and if you get it plus or minus 3 minutes or something like that. But because it's a contest, it'll just be the closest, and we won't do the Price is Right rule. If indeed you are equidistant from it and one of you is over and the other is under, then sure, we can do a Price is Right.
Yeah, that sounds fair.
But we're talking about space, you know, and there's not only two dimensions, there's a third.
The fifth dimension.
Okay, so we're going to start, we're going to go in theatrical release order, and these are also the theatrically released unspecial edition original trilogy.
Okay.
The OG released in 1977 Star Wars, later titled Star Wars Episode 4.
Now, how on earth did you find the information for this? Did you pull up your VCR?
I've got the two disc DVD with the bonus disc. and some other tools at my disposal.
Okay, other tools being, I think, very important.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah. So, first of all, because I said it's particularly spacey, I will also say I tried to make all nine of these be a hyperspace moment, like going into light speed. And I had difficulty finding that in all of them. So hyperspace is the general rule, but otherwise it's some kind of spacey thing. So do either of you, just as a fun thing, have a guess as to what the episode 4 moment is that you're going to be guessing the minute of?
The moment they go, what minute are we going to get?
Like what the actual thing that's happening is.
I'm
going to
guess
I will just
they jump to light speed.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. All right, one point for me.
Yeah.
There we go.
So, okay, and we'll alternate who goes first, but you'll both guess each time. So this is when the Millennium Falcon with our heroes aboard, prior to getting to what they thought would be Alderaan, the first time we see jumping to light speed. What minute of the 122-minute long A New Hope does that happen in? We'll start with Alex.
Our guest.
All right. I'm going to say 52.
Interesting.
52. Okay, Josiah, you have a guess?
I was going to go a little earlier because I kind of felt like it was a little later, and then I was like, maybe a little earlier. But then there's so much prologue that happens like before we get into like the real meat of it. So maybe I should go later. I'm going to go with my original gut and say like 40.
The answer is 55.
Oh, whoa!
So Alex was like right on top of it.
Really,
so the point
good.
Will go to him. You know, I'm realizing now I'm going to call it a 2 point if you get it on the nose.
Okay.
Yeah, that seems good.
I know that because Pete told me that the scene where Luke is doing the lightsaber and then the alarm goes off and he's like, oh, looks like we're coming up on Alderaan. That's the 1 hour mark.
Yes.
So that's easy. I can go from there and
yeah, you know, yeah.
I thought the lightsaber seems a little longer, I guess.
Yeah. Mm. All right. The Empire Strikes Back is next. I'll just tell you what this moment is because it's not as clean. Okay. There is hyperspace. It is basically, I think, the one time the Falcon goes into hyperspace in Empire Strikes Back. It's when they are escaping the Empire on Cloud City. Because, of course, famously, the hyperdrive is being fritzy that entire movie.
Fritzy.
So, again, this is the heroes escape Cloud City to later, you know, be standing aboard the ship looking out onto the whatever. But this is when the Falcon escapes. Josiah. Oh, and the total runtime is 125 minutes.
This is pretty late in the game. I'm going to say 115.
115 for Josiah.
How long is the movie again? 125?
125.
Ooh. The funny thing is I was going to say one within 2 minutes of the number he said. So now I'm like, do I adjust?
No, go with your gut.
I'll go with my original. You said what? You say 115?
I said 115.
Okay, I'll say 117. Please be 116.
It is 118.
Oh, dang! So
once again,
good.
Just about right on top of it.
That's crazy.
Man, wow. Yeah, that's the other thing is the runtime of credits varies from movie to movie.
They get longer and longer as I guess more and more unions fight for recognition to be recognized. Yeah, if you ask me, like, you know, I guess if we get up to Rise of Skywalker, I mean, those credits are like 10 minutes long or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see.
We were there for some of those.
Return of the Jedi. This is I love this, and I think this might be the first time we see it. The whole Rebel fleet coming out of hyperspace prior to joining the battle above Endor. You know, you see all the ships sort of just appear. Here's a hint. It's right after this line. You Rebel scum.
That makes it so obvious. I mean, come on.
Because that it's when we're starting to see, like, there's the ground assault, there's the duel, and there's the space.
Oh, this is a tough
one. Return of the Jedi is 132 minutes. And again, this is when the entire Rebel fleet comes out of hyperspace to you know, essentially come to find that it's a trap.
I will. Oh, I go first this time.
Uh huh.
I will say, let's make it an even C note, minute 100.
All right, 100.
I was thinking something similar because I was like, we're in the final act of the movie, sort of like the sort of inciting incidents of the final act of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
What was the total runtime again?
132.
Okay, I'm just going to go a little bit on the other end and say 105.
105. It is 94.
Oh!
Dang! I can't win.
So you,
I
you
am
went
going up against an expert.
The right amount away, just in the wrong direction.
The wrong direction. Yeah.
I will say I'm just blown away by how close you've both been this whole time.
I'm gonna make Mike play this game sometimes. So he can get a taste of his own.
Yeah. Oh, not so funny now.
All right. Let's see. We'll move into the prequels. Okay, yeah. I had a hard time finding hyperspace in this, but presumably they have just left hyperspace because this is the scene where Rick Ollier says, "Coruscant, the entire planet is one big city." It's essentially Anakin's first foray out into space, so that was my justification. Again, it is when the ship, the Naboo Padme ship, arrives above Coruscant.
How long is the movie entire in its entirety?
Yes, it is 137 minutes.
Wow.
And I think, Josiah, you go first this time.
Yeah. All right, so we've already done, we've got Anakin in tow, which means we've done a lot of the movie already. We've already done a pod race, and that takes 45 minutes at least.
These are the facts. I'm not going to say that the pod race was 45 minutes.
Pod race was
so far,
the pod
race,
exactly
accurate.
10 minutes. Because it was, oh, it was, yes, 2 weeks worth of shows for us. So.
That's awesome.
Yes. So, okay. So I know that it's at least 10 minutes in. Okay. There we go. I'm going to say we're looking at 45. That might be too early, but I'm going to say 45.
45. Okay.
And the movie is 130, you said? 136?
137.
37. I'm going to say minute number 96.
I'm going to need to do some math. What'd you say, Josiah?
45
versus 96. I don't need to do math. The minute is 81.
Oh,
still beat me.
Oh, so we were both pretty far. It was like between us.
Both not smart. Yeah, that one was right in the middle.
There's a lot that happens in that movie.
Yeah, I was trying to think. I was like, maybe 45 felt a little early right after I said it, but I don't know. Stuck with it.
Like, so does that mean the final? That means so it's minute. You said 86.
81.
So there's still 50 minutes left for them to have all the Coruscant stuff and then have the big final battles in the end.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah. We'll see Anakin be like, it's a cup, it's a ship, it's a speeder.
It's a trap.
Okay. Attack of the Clones, episode 2. This is the moment that Obi-Wan's ship first comes out of hyperspace inside that really big, cool ring. And it is, the hint here is, that first time that happens, it is above Kamino. It is prior to him visiting the cloners. Oh, and Attack of the Clones has a runtime of 143 minutes.
Who goes first?
I think I just went first.
Alex
last time.
Does. Yeah.
Okay. The movie is 146.
143.
143. Felt like 146.
Yeah.
Yeah. It does.
So I'm gonna say Obi-Wan arrives at Kamino at the 48-minute mark. No. 38-minute mark.
Okay.
Earlier.
38.
I was going to go a little later.
Tempting.
I'm going to say, but it's, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure if I should just, like, Price is Right you or not. I think I can't. I got to play with my gut. I can't be just going one off of you because that seems not honest. So I'm going to say 50-minute mark.
38 and 50. Okay. It is close, but it again goes to Alex because it's minute 41.
Oh, wow.
That was really close.
I don't know whether to be really proud or concerned that I know all this, that I'm doing well.
That movie in particular follows multiple threads kind of at the same time. So you that could have been any time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. Who knows?
I was kind of using your act break as my guideline. Like, okay, that's when he's arriving there. Yeah. So it's kind of like setting the new story. I mean, I guess he already had Dexter and all that. So that might have been. Anyway,
right, sure.
But that's how
the weird detective noir part of Star Wars. The Obi-Wan tracks down a killer story.
Yeah.
Let's see. We'll do Attack or Revenge of the Sith rather, and we'll just call that a day. I'll save the sequel trilogy for maybe for our Patreon, Josiah.
Okay.
All right. So this is Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. This is when Darth Vader, Emperor Sheev Palpatine, and Grand Moff Tarkin are all looking out into space at the construction of the new Death Star.
Oh.
The movie lasts 141 minutes. I'm trying to remember, what is Tarkin's first name is funny?
Wilhuff.
Moff.
Yes, Wilhuff.
Wilhuff for food.
Wilhuff. And that's like right at the end.
I think you go first, right, Josiah?
Yes.
Yeah.
So what's the total runtime again?
141 minutes.
Okay, I'm going to subtract credits and say 132.
Okay.
I'll say 120.
120 and 132. Wow, Josiah, it wasn't enough to save you, but you managed at the last second to get a two-pointer.
Oh.
That was minute 132. But wow. Given the fact that there were five other movies prior to that, and Alex was closer on all of them, the final score is 5-2.
Well fought, though. Well fought.
Yes.
All right. I'll take it.
Man,
I'll take it.
That's got to feel good, on the dot.
I'm glad we ended it there, because I felt like the balance of power was kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah, thank God I pulled something out of my ass.
Yeah, join us next week when we have a zoologist on the show, and I'm going to ask everybody animal facts.
Are you really having a zoologist?
Yeah, that would be a really fun game. It's just like, I mean, that generally tends to be how the games stand, the guest tends to do better than Josiah, whether it's because...
Yeah, he's a good host. Letting the guests win.
I'm a great host.
I
lose on purpose every time.
But now that
it's definitely not to do with my skill.
Kind of unlocked this. I think maybe we will have to start tailoring games specifically to the like hyper zone of interest of the guest.
Yeah, the hyper zone of skill where you and one other person in the world have more like info on this than anybody else in the world.
But so okay, that's the game. We still have a little bit left here to try to do our best to... I think I tend to agree that space, as we actually think about it in the sort of hard science fact side of things, starts to become antithetical to Star Wars. The first person to ever travel in hyperspace would arrive to where they're going, and it would be an entirely like different civilization than where they thought they'd be headed, or you know.
Well, I guess
what's that movie, Interstellar? Like, there's none of that happens. No one's daughter is older than them.
Well, I think by calling it hyperspace, they're kind of giving themselves a little bit of wiggle room, because no, they're not going the speed of light. They're going through hyperspace.
Right.
It's a different, you know, a different thing. But of course, that's just as made up and nonsensey as any you know, as them traveling the speed of light. You're just kicking concept down of it.
Yeah,
what's the thing that Han says in A New Hope? It's like she'll make 0.4 past light speed, or she'll make 0.5 past light speed. 0.5
past light speed.
So is he in fact saying this goes 50% faster than the speed of light? Or 0.5% faster? Or 0.5 meters per second faster?
The last two of which, not very fast.
There must be some kind of like, you know, like standard in the galaxy, you know, like saying how many miles per hour it gets. So it doesn't literally mean he's going 0.5 past light speed, but that's just the term they use to describe that particular, you know.
Yeah.
I think that makes the most sense.
Yeah.
It also like they're not going light speed when they go into hyperspace, because then we'd have to talk about relativity.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. There is no relativity in Star Wars.
Except everybody is related.
That's true. Talk about...
Wow.
Family ties.
Yeah.
Oh, family tie fighters.
There we go. Because
they fight each other anyway.
You know, yes.
Like. Darth Vader's like, here's, you've got the family tie fighter, son. Pass it on to old. The wings are a little curved. It's for you, Luke.
Last time I was in this baby, I said, what?
What?
I was talking to my co-pilot, Watt Tambor.
The techno. I always call it, what do I always call it? I'm like, the Robot Federation.
Yeah.
I always say it wrong.
I'm disappointed that they don't, that other than one or two uses in the original Star Wars, they never call them robots in any other context.
That's right. Is it just A New Hope?
And maybe, yeah, I don't think they call them in any other robot. It's Lobot.
Uh-huh.
Lobot. And it's funny because if they don't say robot very much, it's like, well, why is he called Lobot?
Because he has a lobotomy. He's cybernetic. They like took out his damn brain.
Is that really why they call him Lobot?
I think so. I think it does have something to do with his brain. Yeah.
It totally does.
Oh, man. That's so sad.
If you want to read a great Star Wars story, Charles Soule did a Lando series. And it's set during the golden age of Cloud City. And Lando totally is talking. Like he's like basically the sidekick, like the wise guy sidekick to Lando.
Yeah.
What?
And then and the story,
it's, cool. it's tragic. It's like this doomed romance of sorts.
Yeah, bromance, yeah.
The doomed bromance.
Yeah, so I encourage everyone to check it out. It's a really good Star Wars story.
It is great. I may have it, Josiah. I'll give it to you next time I see you.
I'll read it. I like to think that Mike and I have a doomed bromance.
Which one of you is going to be lobotomized and take over the...
Oh, me for sure. Me for sure, yeah. I was gonna say I'm gonna go first, and then I'm gonna go first, and I'll have an ice pick ready to go onto Mike.
Mm.
Uh huh.
And then so it'll just be like a domino chain of ice picks.
Yeah, right. There'll be like a bunch of dominoes, and then a little car, and then a pinwheel.
It's a Rube Goldberg machine to lobotomize us. Yeah.
The OK Go can use that.
OK Go-botomy.
Ah.
OK Go-botomy. Yeah. I like that OK Go is like less of a band and more of like a performance art piece every 5 years.
Yeah, it happens to have music attached to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, we made an insane music video and it's been 5 years since the last time we did it. Yeah. So here you go. Like, great guys. Good work.
One thing that space does not inherently have as a characteristic is an orchestral score.
Mm.
And music tends to be something that we give a lot of points, a lot of sort of, you know, relative Star Warsiness points to on this show. If a movie is indeed a movie and it has music in it, it's getting at least like a 3 or 4 out of 10.
You're almost halfway there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like signing your name on your SATs. They give you 200 points just for that, you know?
Yes. Mm-hmm, that's the perfect analogy. We end up giving a lot of stuff a 2, and very few things have gotten a 1. I don't think anything's gotten a 0, and it really is the kind of signing your name on the SAT effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, space is famously quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't hear anything out there. So no music. Also, space is not inherently a narrative. There's no hero's journey when it comes to space.
Well, I guess so. No, I was going to say time only goes in one direction, so that's kind of a narrative, but that's not necessarily space. That's an aspect of space.
That's a good point, though. Space is infinitely expanding, and we have a hard time on this show calibrating our scale because Star Wars keeps expanding.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about it.
Yeah, Star Wars, much like space, is infinite. So that's the way in which they are alike.
Yes.
We will never run out of Star Wars, and if Disney has its way, it'll just forever and ever till the end of time.
Are they still beaming? Like, you remember in olden days with broadcasts, they used to send radio waves out into space and there'd be stories about aliens hearing. Are they just streaming? Like, are they all now like kind of like, what happened to all the shows that were coming out of this? Because now there's no more, like, the planet must have gotten blown up or something. Because
what happened to Buck Rogers?
We were just getting the last season of Lost.
Yeah, we finally got it.
Yeah,
that's a good
question, because the idea of, you know, like the golden disc or whatever that we shot out into space with like the proportions of a human being or whatever.
Yeah.
The idea that we're still sending out like everything that's on Netflix, like there's aliens waiting for season 6 of Love is Blind.
Yeah. I think that if we are sending everything we're streaming, that's bad news, man.
Yeah.
Cause like we're going to get some aliens. This is funny. There's a theory that I think was, I'm not sure if it was actually given a name from the three body problem.
Again with the three body problem.
I know. I love it so much. But there's this idea called the dark forest, where like space is a dark forest and everyone, all these planets are just hiding and being like, if we talk, someone might kill us. Mm-hmm. And so there's this theory that like, if we are beaming everything out, that's actually a really bad idea. Cause then that shows,
right,
hey, we're here. And then an advanced civilization.
Come take our water.
An advanced civilization could just be like, oh, they're there, but they're not as advanced as us yet. So let's just kill them before they can get there.
I mean, if they're capable of getting here, they are by definition way more advanced than we are.
Yeah.
So,
right. Yeah.
That's the other thing. People expect aliens to like walk down off the ramp and be like, hello, humans, you know, we're only slightly more advanced than you. Not so much that we're too threatening. And, you know, but it would be like arriving like at an island with just monkeys on it. You know what I mean? Like, we wouldn't be like, oh, let's extend our invitation to these monkeys to let them know we're friendly. We would just be like, I'll round them up and put them on the ship. We'll bring them back and eat them later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally, it would be like if we came up to an island and there were amoebas
on
the island. And we're like, should we kill these amoebas?
Oh, wait, the ambassador's here.
Yeah. Oh, it's the ambassador amoeba. Oh, hello, good sir. Oh,
now that was four of them, so now they just keep...
Yeah, we got it. All right. We'll let them multiply. Yeah. We'll let them keep multiplying. We'll come back in a million years and see what happens.
And then we're all taken aboard and there's someone reading How to Cook for Humans. What's the Simpsons joke? Like how to serve man.
Cook.
Oh, that's right.
Yes. Yes.
How to cook
40 humans.
Oh, yeah, 40 humans.
Oh man.
Yes.
Yeah, so space is like so Star Wars has space in it, but space is not inherently Star Wars because of all the reasons we've seen.
We're in a real circle rectangle conundrum.
Yeah, the
real
rectangle.
Or circle.
Circle.
All circles are rectangles.
See, it's that quantum stuff. It's a circle and it's a rectangle at the same time.
Mike's getting into his theories now.
Yeah.
He thinks all circles are rectangles.
Excuse me, the square rectangle conundrum.
I did. I mentioned I had a flat Earth story because Mike was like, space is just the
background.
When I was an Uber driver, I had someone one time who did believe that, and we did have a conversation about flat Earth. And I was like, he was like, well, I don't believe it. Because like, some flat earthers do believe in outer space. Some don't. He was of the inclination that space is just a projection onto a big screen up in the sky. And I was like, to what end?
What's on the other side of that big screen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's the purpose of tricking us?
Why is this more easy to believe than the stuff that everyone like, why is that like, it's like, no, I believe we're on a triangle planet, you know, like it's just dumb.
It's so dumb. It's so confusing and so weird. He also told me that all airplanes have fisheye lenses in the windows, which is why you can see the curvature of the Earth, because they made it that way so that it would bend the Earth. So that was interesting, because I was like, every airplane? And he was like, yeah.
So what is there? I'm sure I don't turn this into a flat Earth documentary episode, but what is their explanation for ships disappearing over the horizon?
They just say that if you get, like, I literally said that to him because I was like, because that's one of the easiest ones to say, right? It's because that's something we've been able to
lenses involved.
Lenses involved. You've been able to observe that for centuries. Yeah. And he was like, well, if you get a telescope, you can see him again. And then I was like, yeah, and if you keep watching through the telescope, they disappear again.
No, but you have to keep chasing them.
Yeah. So that was like a weird one. I was like, but that's the thing, is they have answers for everything, and they have convinced themselves that their answers are like smart and like that they check all the boxes. But I find it endlessly fascinating and really funny. But yeah, space is just, that's all I'll say. Space is just a projection onto a big screen.
I love the planes have fisheye lens windows thing, because now I'm just picturing shooting all sorts of rad skateboard videos outside of through a plane window.
Yeah. That one really got me, because I was like, what if I made my own plane?
Yeah, or put a camera on a balloon and sent that up.
Like, you're telling me that like someone goes into every plane, like manufacturing plant, and is like, you gotta put these fisheye lenses in.
Well, and I think I generally see what you mean, but balloons are flat too, so that's maybe not a good example.
Oh, okay.
Wait, what?
Wait till this guy finds out that you can go in space, you can go in three dimensions.
Yeah, he's gonna freak out.
Ender.
He's gonna be like Ender's Game freak out. Yeah.
I'm trying to think, good and evil. Space is sort of inherently neither. Yeah, but I suppose it is kind of just only evil because it is inhospitable.
Yeah, nature and anything in the natural world is evil because they're here to kill us. No one gets out of us alive. So
yeah,
I like this hot take from Alex. Okay. It's not neutral. It's not chaos. It's evil.
Bring it on, living creatures.
as we just kind of put to bed that none of us are flat earthers, we are opening up the new box that we are evil naturers.
Nature is evil.
Right.
Confirmed.
What are some of our other kind of things that we...
Well, sneaking around, space.
Everyone in Star Wars is always sneaking around.
That's true. I prefer it to all the sneaking around it, personally. Yeah. But
colorful characters. Not really. Space doesn't really have characters, except unless the planets. You can cut the planets. As we talked about earlier, could be characters.
Like colored.
I don't know. I think that we've done a decent job at giving some pros and cons. It might be almost time to give it a rating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
you think so?
Unless I, because I'm struggling to think of anything else. I mean, colorful, sure, but characters, sneaking around, the closest I can come to sneaking around is like space junk or satellites or maybe a moon. We talked about the eclipse earlier. That feels sort of sneaky of the moon.
It's like you can't see
where the sun is sneaking out behind the moon.
That's a better,
All right, I'll go with
that. It's me, the sun.
We are attributing a behavior, or rather a state of mind to the behavior of the sun.
Yes, and morals to the entire...
The birds with the longer beaks wanted to live, and the birds with the shorter beaks wanted to die.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, wow, we've talked about flat Earth, evolution, nothing, infinity. We're really doing the science gamut today.
Justin's going to love this episode.
Can I tell you one... funny sun factoid?
Oh, please.
Yes.
I don't know if it's really a factoid, but I've heard that, when deaf people get those implants, those cochlear implants that they can hear for the first time, apparently one thing a lot of deaf people are surprised at is that the sun does not make any noise. Isn't that weird?
Like,
that is so
hot,
interesting.
It influences us in so many other ways, but yet it's silent. But deadly.
Yeah.
So anyway, I thought that was kind
of
cool.
Sort of crazy. That's going to freak me out next time I look at the sun. Yeah. I'm like, why are you so quiet?
What are you sneaking about?
What are you hiding up there?
That's making me think. I feel like we talked about it on this show before. The thing, it's a similar thing of someone born blind and can see again if they're handed a sphere or if they're told to look at a sphere in a cube. Can they, just by looking at them, know which one is which? If they know the name ball and they know the
Mike
name...
Mike is explaining this horribly.
I'm doing a terrible
so
job.
Far.
They think the cube makes noise because it's the sun.
Let me try. We talked about this before. So the thing is, then they're blind. They have felt a cube and they have felt a sphere before. So they know what a sphere feels like. They know what a cube feels like. Once they regain their sight through whatever scientific means... They then were like, hey, looking at this cube, looking at this sphere, do you know which one's which? And strangely enough, they could not tell just by looking which one was which. They had to feel it and look and be like, oh, this is the sphere, this is the cube.
Right.
So there is a disconnect between the visual information you get and the tactile information you get. And that was a weird thing they discovered.
And that's unique to cubes and spheres?
I think it's anything.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. That would make sense.
Well, and it gets really tricky because all cubes are spheres.
Whoa.
But not all.
Yeah. Here's Mike's theories again. Yeah. And then I told Mike, this was a great game you can play with your partner, with a friend, with anybody. Just hand them something with their eyes closed and see if they can tell what it is. It's a really fun game.
And I believe the punchline of that, too, was that your partner always could.
Yeah. It's the easiest game, but it makes you feel weirdly very smart because you'll just be like, chapstick, done. Hand me something else. Jolly Rancher, easy. What is this?
You need
like, weird, like, you don't.
We need to have someone make fake things, you know, like, oh, you're like Jolly Rancher. Yes. You open it up and it's like a Reese's peanut butter cup inside of a
You're
like, what? Like one of those, like one of those meals where you eat it and it looks like a steak, but it tastes like a, you know, a pork chop.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, is it cake, but in a very smaller manner.
Yeah.
Is it a cube?
Oh, geez. Okay. So, let's.
So the thing that we'll do in terms of giving this a score from 1 to 10 is we each come up with our own unit of measure.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm trying to remember.
Related to space.
Recently. Yeah. Like for Dune, I think one of us chose sandworms as the unit of measure.
Yeah, I did. I did baby sandworms for Dune.
That's right. So
it can be anything related to space or whatever you want it to be. I think my unit of measure is going to be, we haven't even talked about this at all, but I always think about this. AUs. Astronomical units.
Oh.
Dude, I was just going to use AU as
no
my...
No way! You can have it. You can have it. You can have it. You can have it.
No. You said it first.
Can we describe what that is? I know I've heard the term,
It's the distance from the Earth to the moon?
The sun, I thought.
The sun. Yes, yeah, sorry. The Earth to the sun is one astronomical unit. So it's a way of measuring distance within our solar system.
So is it a range?
So you'd say Jupiter is 6 astronomical units away as opposed to 35 million miles or whatever it is.
I see.
Yeah. Sorry, nerds. So I know it's not 35 million miles.
It's not. Don't,
take it easy, don't nerds. At me.
But yeah, it's because outside of our solar system, it becomes useless because distance gets way too huge.
Yeah, I see.
But within our solar system, it's a nice way of having like, oh, it's like, you know, 100. Yeah. It's like, oh, that's 100 times the length from the sun to the Earth. And so it's a good way of like measuring distance in the solar system.
Okay.
I'm gonna change mine.
I'm gonna say AUs. Okay.
I'm gonna change mine to a super, in honor of Han Solo bouncing too close to a supernova. I will use supernovae as my scale.
God, finally, someone on the show is doing the right pluralization of supernova.
We've had to kick people
it's
off.
So aggravating having to. Well, since AU was already taken, I'm going to do AUD, Australian dollars.
All right.
Okay.
So does that mean depending on the exchange rate, space becomes more or less like a star?
Right. Yeah. Right. The distance to the sun. That's why I think that I have trouble with understanding what you're talking about, because isn't the distance to the sun variable? Aren't we on an elliptical orbit?
The average is 93 million miles.
Got it.
So that's the...
So yeah, it can't vary too much or else we would die.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it... It's not too high, not too low. Well, it's a little low. But it's kind of in the middle.
Here's what it is. It is not a Star Wars movie or Star Wars video game or Star Wars comic book.
People are going to hear this episode and think, space, that's got to be pretty Star Wars. And they're going to be wrong because I'm giving it 3 AUs.
Wow. So on average, we're talking 279 million miles.
Yeah.
That's pretty far.
Yeah.
That's pretty far.
You said 3?
Yeah, I could be convinced to go higher, but that's where I'm starting.
Let me see what that exchange rate is to Australian dollars.
How many million miles are in one Australian dollar?
So, this is what airline you're talking about, I guess.
Yeah, true.
So because
Alaska, weirdly, is great.
Because we are here in the USA, 3 Australian dollars translates to about $1.95 US. So like that's about a 2. I feel like I gotta go a little higher in Australian dollars out of 10 to make the American adjustment feel closer. So how Star Wars is space? I think I'm going to say 4 Australian dollars out of 10.
All right, there we go.
All right, well, I guess that leaves me. Let's see. The distances that they travel in Star Wars are not, you know, possible. The distances that are not likely to be true. Sound goes in space. Gravity is all artificial. Gravity itself is a kooky, not real concept. Although it doesn't have to do with space specifically. I was thinking, well, Star Wars takes place in space, but a lot of time they're on planets. So I guess in that sense, every movie takes place in space.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we could change the show right now to How Pride and Prejudice Is It?
So while it doesn't seem to have much in common with space, it does take place. It is literally exists in space and takes place in space. I'm going to give it a two supernovae. Always two there are.
Ah.
Always mm-hmm. two. I love yeah, it.
Orbiting each other very quickly.
Yeah, yeah. Sort of the Sons of Tatooine.
What's that?
Yeah.
The Sons of Tatooine?
Like a biker
the
gang?
Sons.
Yeah. The...
oh, yeah, from the from the Boba
from
Fett
the Book
movie.
Of Boba Fett. Yeah. Yeah. The slow moving scooter gang.
I generally thought you meant Sons of Tatooine, and I was like, who?
Yeah.
I can't believe that they put that and then watched it and were like, that's good. That's good. It's exciting. Just like playing at twice the speed, and it
yeah, it looks like an old like Charlie Chaplin movie.
Yeah, when they play,
just overcrank it. Like.
Yeah, exactly. Oh well.
So what do we average out there? Kind of right. We average
2, 3, 4. So a 3.
Yeah.
We so well there you have it, folks. It's a 2, 3, 4. It's a 3 ish on average, mm-hmm. and
trilogy.
That's it. So they just a trilogy, and. That's it. So do you want us on the internet? Because if you do, you can find us at How Star Wars Is It on Twitter and Instagram. You can email us at agoodpodcast@gmail.com because that's what this is.
It is a good podcast at gmail.com.
Yes.
Do we have any emails?
We do have an email from guess who?
Justin.
Justin! So someone, I'll read real quick. Someone asked in the Dune Part 2 episode if there was a book in the Dune anthology about when they decided to not have computers anymore. In 2002, Brian Herbert, son of Frank Herbert, wrote Dune: The Butlerian Jihad as the story of that crusade of the last humans against the thinking machines. As mentioned in the episode, Brian Herbert's 8 gajillion Dune books aren't that great, so I don't know if you want to read it, but now you know it exists.
Great.
From Justin.
So now I know specifically what I won't be reading as opposed to just yeah. generally what I won't be...
Yes, so there. That's a thank you, Justin.
What should we have listeners email us about this week?
Oh, we also he also emailed us about our last episode, which we hadn't talked about yet. And his school did not have a class favorite.
Yes,
I can't remember what episode we talked about class favorites, but his did not.
I think
so.
It was on Tokyo Drift.
Tokyo Drift, of course.
If you want to email us at agoodpodcast@gmail.com this week, tell us your how would you in a bad faith manner attempt to explain the Earth's flatness?
If you had to.
Show us your work. Give us the mental gymnastics.
Yeah, if you absolutely had to.
Yeah.
Mike, you want to tell me the Patreon?
Yeah, we
real
also
fast?
Have a Patreon, patreon.com/howstarwarsisit. Weekly bonus episodes, film commentaries of all the Star Wars movies, and also like The Matrix and Ocean's 11, RPGs, improv stuff. Check that out. It's again, patreon.com/howstarwarsisit. We're also part of Anarchy, the Improvised Rock Opera here in Chicago at the IO Moon. Sorry, at the IO Theater.
Yeah.
And I don't know where we are in terms of this episode's release. We might be kind of coming to the end of our current run of shows, but those are always in the works. So if we don't immediately extend, we will soon in the future. So follow Anarchy Music Improv on Instagram.
Yeah. Alex, where should people follow you and find your work?
My website is alexrobinson.fun. There you can find links to my graphic novels, link to Star Wars Minute, to my other podcast, Godfather Minute, and stuff like that. So alexrobinson.fun.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Nice and easy.
Check it out. Shop. Star Wars Minute is an incredible podcast. If you're listening to this, there's no chance you haven't already heard of it. But if you haven't, you got to check out Star Wars Minute. You guys have done... minute by minute, all 11 live action Star Wars films at this point.
Wow.
So
well, when you put it like that,
how many years has it been? It's been over 10 years in the making.
Last year was our 10th year.
Bananas.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's an accomplishment right there.
I know. Where did the
time
go? An
achievement in podcasting. Well, there you have it, folks. Thank you so much for joining us, Alex. We really loved having you. You're welcome on anytime. So if we're ever recording, just crash the Zoom.
Yeah.
And literally whenever you
yeah,
want.
Yeah, I'll just start always sending you the link. And you can choose to.
Don't tempt me. I still want to talk about novelty Monopoly boards next time.
So. Yeah, there we go.
Next time.
But so, Alex, what we say at the end is we say we love you and may the 4th be with you. So if you want to, you can feel free to say that with us as our closing catchphrase. But sandwiches to Star Wars, it's about time for Tubby Bye Bye. So like we always say,
we like you.
And the 4th be with you.
Yay. Bye bye.
Goodbye there.
I like that you weren't willing to commit to a love.
I don't know your audience.
Yeah, that's true. I just like you guys.
Yeah. And even that's pushing
you.
It.
Like you.